is today suffering a fate worse than death. He is in Hollywood to make a movie. Even though he has already sunk to such depths as radio, he is Uncle Goodheart, hero of an afternoon program, the magnificent Montague feels that by merely being in Hollywood, he has deserted the theater and sold his soul to the devil. Not even the fact that the picture he's going to make is Shakespeare's Macbeth can soothe his guilty and tortured mind. It is morning in the little bungalow the Montagues have rented in Beverly Hills. Lily, his wife and one-time leading lady, and Agnes the maid are up, preparing for the great man's first day at the studio.
Take it easy, take it easy. The Hollywood residents of Edwin Montague and Lily Boehm of East 61st Street, New York. Agnes the maid on this end. What do you want? Oh, Empire Studios? No, Montague ain't up yet. What? You want me to wake him up? At 7 in the morning? Are you kidding? I'm too young to die. Does he like California? He's nuts about it. He hides under the bed all day until the sun goes down, then he gets up, screams, and goes back under the bed. Huh? Okay.
Who is that, Agnes?
The studio. They say your husband's due for his makeup and test at 8 o'clock. They're sending a car for him.
Oh, I hope he gets there this time. He's been stalling them off all week. Oh, Edwin is so miserable.
He certainly is.
Now, Agnes, they talked him into doing the picture, and he feels he's committing treason to the New York State.
That ham.
Agnes, remember, he's my husband.
Okay, Mr. Ham.
Please, we must help him through this mental crisis. Edwin's never forgiven the movies. He thinks when they came in, it was goodbye theater. And here he is making a movie.
Goodbye movies.
Why, Agnes, Edwin will be wonderful in the movies. Why do you think the picture companies were so anxious to sign him?
Because their backs are to the wall. That big loud mouth of his. The only voice left in the country that can be heard in the movie theaters above the crackling of the popcorn.
Oh, now, Agnes, think. What can we do to make Edwin happy here in Hollywood?
I know. Let's sneak out tonight and burn the city to the ground.
Agnes, dear, if I tell you something, will you promise on your honor never to breathe a word of it to Edwin? If he finds out, he'll be furious.
What is it, honey?
I like Hollywood.
So do I. That sunshine. Every afternoon, I plunk the carcass down on the patio and let it splash all over me. I tell you, if you close your eyes, it's hard to believe you're not at Coney Island.
Mm. And imagine having a little garden. Everything grows so fast out here.
Maybe that's what's bothering Montague. He's afraid his beard will start bearing fruit.
Agnes, stop being silly.
No kidding. On chilly nights, I want to put a smudge pot under it.
Now, please, Agnes, don't mention his beard. Hasn't he had enough trouble out here with everybody mistaking him for Gabby Hayes?
Poor Gabby. Poor Gabby.
I wonder when Edwin...
Oh, no.
Edwin's up.
Every morning, the same thing. He opens his eyes, and then he realizes he's in Hollywood.
You'd better get him his breakfast. The studio car will be here for him.
E-I-O-E.
Oh, hurry. He's doing his morning vocal exercises already.
The voice of the turtle.
Good morning, Lily. Good morning, Agnes.
Good morning, Gabby.
Down, Agnes, down. Be good, Agnes, or I'll go out in the backyard and dig up all those bones you buried.
Edwin, isn't it a lovely morning? The sun is shining, the birds are singing.
My nerves are screaming.
Edwin, look out of the window. It's midwinter, and the flowers are in bloom. A warm breeze is blowing. The trees are waving.
Ah, yes. All nature seems to have blended into one glorious symphony, and is whispering to me, "Hey, stupid, what are you doing out here? Get back to New York."
Boy of the Golden West.
Agnes, why don't you go down to the railroad station and meet a train, head on?
Edwin, be fair about California. See how beautiful Hollywood looks, nestling at the foot of those purple mountains. Oh, for a camera.
Oh, for an avalanche.
Now, Edwin, be reasonable. Now, try and enjoy yourself.
Lily, I must admit, for the first time since I came to this land of the Nutburger, I'm happy.
You are?
Yes, I reached a decision. Lily, I'm not going to make that movie. We're going back to New York.
Edwin!
We can't go back yet. I'm only tanned on one side.
Agnes, my dear, I would consider it a personal pleasure to be allowed to tan your other side.
Serious.
Lily, I can't do it. I cannot be a part of this celluloid siren that has lured the public away from the theater of Shakespeare. Abbott and Costello have taken the place of Romeo and Juliet.
But, Edwin, they're counting on you.
Never! The voice of Montague that has echoed in so many theaters the golden lines of Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question, will never be able to say he went that away.
But, Edwin, they're doing Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Edwin Montague in Macbeth with free dishes? No.
Edwin, for a man who's Uncle Goodhart on the radio 5 times a week...
At least nobody knows it's me.
Well, the studio is giving you a new name.
I know. Raoul Randolph. Oh, no. I won't make that picture. I want to get back to New York with clean hands. I want once again to stand shoulder to shoulder with my fellow actors of the theater who haven't deserted the stage for Hollywood gold. I want to join their ranks again.
And the unemployment insurance office.
All right, Agnes, back into your bottle of alcohol.
Edwin, you have to make that picture. You signed a contract.
Never. Let them sue me. Let them take all my worldly possessions.
Some possessions. A bust of Shakespeare and a pair of torn tights.
Agnes, I've always meant to ask you, who do you go to have your head shrunk?
Oh, now, Edwin, be sensible. They're going to make you a big star.
Edwin Montague in Hollywood. This is the end of Bela Lugosi.
Agnes, please keep your mouth closed. They have enough canyons out here.
Edwin, you signed a contract and you're going through with it.
Montague, what are they doing to you? They're like vultures descending on a dead horse.
A dead horse? That reminds me, breakfast is ready.
Another breakfast by Agnes. It's game time. Here's where I play hide-and-go-seek with Tomaine.
Oh, now, hurry, Edwin. The studio is sending a limousine. And don't forget you have your Uncle Goodhart broadcast this afternoon.
The movies and radio, all in one day. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Take the mirrors out of the house, Lily. I can't look at myself.
Lucky you.
Agnes, my dove, why don't you go out, find yourself a nice young man, and work out a suicide pact?
Now, Edwin, get ready.
Lily, I can't face it alone. I want you to come with me.
Oh, I can't, Edwin. I want to do some gardening.
Gardening? Her husband's poor body is being broken on the rack, and she is planting petunias. Lily, where is your heart?
Oh, please, Edwin, I'd rather not.
Lily, I understand. You, who have remained true to the theater, you who have refused Hollywood offers so many times in our long career, you can't bear to see my vile degradation. Your once proud husband, a movie actor.
Edwin.
Lily, please come with me.
All right, Edwin, I will.
Take my autograph book. You might run into Louise Fazenda.
Oh, there's the car from the studio.
The tumbril is here to take me to the guillotine.
Come, Edwin. Goodbye, Agnes.
So long, honey.
Goodbye, Agnes.
Goodbye, Raoul.
Well, Raoul Randolph, you're here. Welcome to Empire Pictures.
Thank you.
I'm Speed Cochran of publicity.
This is my wife.
I'm glad to know you, Mrs. Randolph.
Well, I'm not...
Mr. Stiles Fenton, Mr. Big himself. He wants me to bring you right in to see him. This way, please.
Lily?
You go in. I'll wait here, Edwin.
Right this way. We'll barge right in. Well, Stiles, here he is.
How do you do?
Raoul, baby, you got here.
Raoul, Mr. Fenton, my name is Edwin Montague. It is a name that is still remembered and revered by thousands of theatergoers. I would appreciate it.
Sure, anything you say, Raoul. Remember, I'm behind you. You're my baby. We're going all out on you. You're going to be a big star. You've got empire behind you, baby.
Sound good to you, sweetheart? Mr. Fenton, from your conversation, I don't know whether you're planning to make a picture with me or take me to Niagara Falls.
Oh, did you get that speed, Niagara Falls? Phone it in to Hedda Hopper. Now, look, Raoul, baby, I want you and Steve to get together on the publicity build-up. Ever have your name in the papers?
For the last 25 years, my name has been a byword in the drama sections of the New York press.
Oh, local stuff, huh? Speed here is going to make the name of Raoul Randolph a household word. We'll make him forget does. Take over, Speed.
Well, we got to get an angle, see? An angle. Of course, you are a little older than we thought.
I've aged considerably since entering this room.
I got it. Raoul Randolph. Older than Pienza, but he's still got that springtime in his heart.
Great. That's it. Put that on the teletype. Rush it right over to Luella.
Luella who?
Luella who?
Look, baby, don't even say that in a joke around here. Oh, what I said.
Are you married, Raoul?
That was my wife I introduced you to. She happens to be the famous Lily Boehm of the New York stage.
Oh, you're married, huh? Well, we'll hush it up.
Hush it up?
Sure, baby. We gotta make the housewives feel you're available.
Look, sweetheart. Is this a motion picture studio or a Lonely Hearts Club?
Lonely Hearts Club. Speed, punch that up a little and shoot at the windshield. You might blow it up into a whole column. Things I never knew until now about Raoul Randolph.
We gotta get a romantic angle. I got it. We'll cook up a hot romance between you and Marjorie Maine.
Me and Marjorie Maine? I'm dying to see the stove that's going to be cooked up on.
Now we gotta get moving on some pictures, see? Did you bring your bathing suit with you?
My bathing suit?
Yeah. I'll take you out on the back lot for some stills for the fan magazines. You know, human interest stuff. Chasing some bathing beauties around the pool. Maybe one of them trick pictures. Your head on a girl's body. Shows you're human. Not one of them stuffy highbrow actors. We want to get you down to the public level.
Down? I'm practically dragging. My dear Speed, if any picture of me in a boy bathing suit or my head on a girl's body appears in the daily paper, I assure you the next edition of that paper will feature a picture of your head on a spike over the main gate of Empire Studios, and it won't be strict photography.
Oh, now, wait a minute, sweetheart.
You listen to me, baby. I came out here to appear in Shakespeare's immortal Macbeth. I only considered to do it in order to protect Macbeth from being played by Red Skelton. The picture will have all the dignity and beauty it deserves.
Raoul, what do you think we are, barbarians? This is a prestige picture for us. Why, I've had writers on that script for 6 months, punching up the lines, polishing the dialogue.
Polishing Shakespeare's dialogue. Punching up the line. Oh, Shakespeare, in your immortal grave, I can hear you spinning now.
Raoul, you're unhappy, sweetheart. Look, you're the boss. Just tell us what you want.
You're my baby. Now, are you happy? Yes, Daddy. Isn't he a doll?
Well, come on, let's get going with the test.
Test?
Yeah, we got to get you in front of a camera, see what kind of makeup to use, how you look. We got to find out. You know, from certain angles, you could look 20 years younger.
I can?
Sure, who knows? With a little luck, we might have another George Raft on our hands.
George Raft, my boyhood idol.
Come on, let's get going. This test is going to be great. You'll be wonderful in it.
Of course, I'm a little unfamiliar with the technique.
Oh, you'll be in great hands. We have Mr. Maylard Fitch. Best dramatic teacher in Hollywood.
Dramatic teacher?
Yeah, this way. Maylard's waiting on the soundstage. Through here.
Dramatic teacher. Mr. Fenton, I'm sorry. A baby. I hope you're acquainted with the fact that I've spent 25 years as the country's leading Shakespearean actor.
Just leave everything to Maylard. Through this door. Okay, Mr. Fitch. We can go ahead. He's here.
Hello, Mr. Fenton. And this is Ray Randolph.
The name is Raoul.
Okay, sweetheart, get rolling on that screen test. I want to see this by this afternoon.
Yes. Well, now, any acting experience, Mr. Randolph?
A little.
I understand the lead in your high school play, PTA minstrel shows, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing.
Well, I'll be frank with you, Mr. Randolph. This thing they're putting you in...
Macbeth.
Macbeth, of course. Yes, indeed, that's right. It's by Shakespeare. Very difficult, and I won't be able to do a thing for you unless I have your absolute attention and you...
Mr. Fitch.
Please don't interrupt. We have so much spade work to do.
Mr. Fitch, I'm sorry. I don't want to lead you on. But obviously they haven't told you. I am Edwin Montague. Who? Edwin, or as certain critics insisted on labeling me, the Magnificent Montague.
Yes, well, that's all very interesting, Mr. Randolph. But we have much too much to get done before I can possibly release you as an actor.
You will release me as an actor. Mr. Fitch, you are a follower of the drama. The name of Edwin Montague means nothing to you?
Absolutely nothing. But, of course, I'm no judge, Mr. Randolph. I haven't been in touch with the little theater movement in years. More interested in professional actors now. Well, shall we get on with it? Let me hear your voice. I want to see if there's anything to start with. Now, say... How now, brown cow? You see, I want resonance, but I'll explain to you what resonance means later. Just now, how now, brown cow? Now, don't be nervous. I won't bite you. Shall we?
How now, brown cow?
Again.
You are a... Stupid jackass.
Mr. Randolph, as long as you continue these schoolboy pranks, I cannot help you on the rocky road to being an actor.
Mr. Fitch, you, as low and dismal a specimen of humanity as I've ever seen outside of a snake pit, you are going to make me an actor?
Mr. Randolph, it is not my practice to impress students with my theatrical background. I find many times that it overawes them. But in your case, may I acquaint you with the fact that prior to coming to the studio, I had spent 3 solid years with a Pasadena community playhouse.
Really?
And before that, I was senior dramatic coach at Hollywood High.
Oh, master, I will never doubt you again.
I should think not. Now we have to make the test. I have selected a scene from Macbeth. You see, it's Macbeth with Lady Macbeth. Now, where Macbeth has just murdered the king and his conscience starts bothering him. Now, you see, in this scene,
you mean, methinks I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth,
no! No, no, Raoul.
No?
No, no, this way. Methinks I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Ta-ta, ta-ta, ta-dee, ta-ta, ta-ta, ta-ta. Rhythm, 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 rhythm.
Ta-ta, ta-ta, ta-ta.
That's exactly it. You got it. Now, let's do the test and get it over with. Get the cameras ready. Lights. We're ready, Mr. Randolph. I shall take
Lady Macbeth's part. Oh, no, you won't. No, no. Where's the door?
Raoul!
Lily, will you please step into the studio?
Lily?
My Lady Macbeth, Lily Boehm, who happens to have played the role opposite to me for 2 solid years at the Belasco Theater on Broadway, where we set a new record to the wild acclaim of all the New York critics.
Well, what is it, Edwin?
Lily, we're doing the murder scene, Act 2, Scene 2.
Oh, no, Edwin, please, don't ask me to do it.
Lily, I know how strongly you feel about movies, but, Lily, this is just a test. You must do it for me.
Oh, Edwin. All right.
All right. On your toes, Lily. This is an event. We, who have performed Macbeth before the most critical audiences in the world, must today rise to new and glorious heights. Today, Lily, we are performing before Mr. Maylard Fitch of the Pasadena Community Playhouse. And Hollywood High. Let the camera roll, Mr. Fitch. We are ready.
Very well. Here are the scripts.
Scripts? A pox on your scripts, do I, Edwin Montague, who spent 25 years steeped in the immortal Macbeth, need a script? Take it away.
Get ready to roll.
We'll take it right after where I, Macbeth, have killed the king and come to you, conscience-stricken. We're ready.
Cameras, roll them.
Go ahead, Lily.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways. So, it will make us mad.
With thoughts I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth does kill sleep.
Murder sleep, Edwin.
A murder sleep. Sleep that ravels up the knitted sleeve.
Knits up the raveled sleeve.
And knits up the raveled sleeve of woe.
Of care.
Of care. The life of each day's death.
The death of each day's life.
The death of each day's life.
Oh, that's it, Mr. Randolph. Thank you.
Well, he wanted me to use a script. Thank you, Lily. Thank you.
I'll wait for you out in the hall, Edwin.
Well, Mr. Maylord Fitch, did that come up to the high and lofty standards of drama of Hollywood High? Well,
that was quite an interesting interpretation of Shakespeare, Mr. Montague. However, I personally...
I know. Ta-ta, ta-ta, ta-ti, ta-ta, ta-ti.
Well, Raoul, baby, did Mr. Fitch show you how we do things here?
Oh, yes, he gave me an excellent idea of how you do things here.
Good man, isn't he? He was with the Pasadena Community Playhouse, you know. They had a fight like tigers to get it.
Who was after him? Compton Junior College?
Compton Junior College. Where's Speed? I'll have to have him shoot it over to Cindy Skalski. Here he is. Speed, Speed, you got the song?
Right here, Stiles, and they're terrific.
Good. Look, Raoul, sweetheart. The boys just came up with some terrific songs for the picture. Want you to run through them. What key do you sing in?
Songs for the picture?
Well, you can't do a musical without songs.
Shakespeare's Macbeth, a musical?
In Technicolor. I told you we're going all out. Get these songs. Wait till they hit the jukeboxes.
Hoo-haw!
What's that one, Stiles, the one I like?
From the battle scene.
Yeah.
You mean, I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's foot. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Leon Macbeth.
That's it. Macduff, isn't that it? Yeah. Leon Macduff, yeah. That's it. Now, here's what you sing. Hit it, Speed. Go on.
Dum tiddy yum dum dum. Baby, I like your style. Baby, I like your stuff. But if you want that love from me, Leon Macduff.
Oh. Oh.
That's you right between the eyes, didn't it, Raoul?
Not quite there.
Oh, get this one. You know, the whole play, Macbeth, takes place in Scotland.
So I had been led to believe.
It's that thing about Birnam Wood.
The immortal line. Though Birnam Wood become to Dunsinane, and though a pole...
Now, get this. You see, as a little Scotch number, you in kilts. Speed?
Dum tiddy yum dum dum.
Though Burnham would come to Dunsany with my lassie by my side, it's a brobrach moonlich.
Oh, no, stop, stop.
I know, Raoul. You don't have to tell me. You want to know if we have a ballad for you.
Yes, my ballad. Where's my ballad?
Wait till he hears this. That's Pete, the dagger scene.
You mean, is this a dagger that I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Come. Let me clutch this.
That's it. Now get the picture. You standing there with Lady Macbeth on the veranda in the moonlight. And then you sing your ballad. Take it, Speed.
Dum diddy yum dum dum. Is this a dagger that I see before me? Or is it you? Oh, Lady Macbeth. Come, let me clutch you in my arms.
Oh, stop. Are you gentlemen serious?
Surprised, aren't you, sweetheart? Thought this was going to be just another one of those little bee pictures, huh? We're going all out for my baby. Now, for the title of the picture, we're leaving it all up to you.
The title for Macbeth?
Yeah, we boiled it down to two. Do you like this one? Lady Macbeth was a lady.
Lady Macbeth was a lady.
Yeah, personally, I like it. It has dignity. But if you've got a dirty mind, you can make your own meaning.
Fine.
Let me throw this one at you. Lady Macbeth has her fling.
Lady Macbeth has her fling.
Yeah, you know, Scotland, Highland fling. It's too subtle, I guess. It'll go over their heads. Cross that one out, Speed. You see how we do things out here?
God.
Something bothering you, baby?
Oh, no. I'm fascinated. Go on.
Oh, wait till we deck you out in that costume, that Texas Ranger outfit.
A Texas Ranger in Scotland?
Yeah. You see, in the first reel, you and Lady Macbeth, we're getting Esther Williams, you know.
Yeah.
Now, the both of you come over to America, fleeing from persecution by the Tsar.
Yeah.
Now, you go west in a covered wagon. A couple of Indian fights. Never misses in Technicolor. You hit Dodge City, and you stake out a ranch.
Yeah.
Then along comes Macduff.
Yeah?
A cattle rustler.
Yeah.
You and Lady Macbeth are trapped by him in the middle of the desert. And then comes the climax. Lady Macbeth swims for help.
Yeah. In the desert.
Well, how else are you going to get Esther Williams in a bathing suit? Get with it, sweetheart. Get with it. Well, that's what we're planning to do, baby. Huh, Speed?
Yeah, that's it.
Good. Now, may I acquaint you with my plan?
Shoot.
That, sir, is just what I'm intending to do. I shall get into my Texas Ranger outfit, pull out my trusty six-shooter, and shoot you both squarely between the eyes. At my own expense, I will order a tombstone for both of you and will simply say, here lie sweetheart and baby.
Now, wait, Raoul.
Don't Raoul me.
Macbeth in Technicolor. Songs.
It'll be beautiful.
Beautiful, my dear friends. My apartment in New York overlooks the East River. Every afternoon a garbage scow passes my window. I assure you, that garbage scow will look like Cleopatra's barge compared to this picture you are planning.
Randolph, this picture will make you...
It has already made me sick. Ill. Now, do you think by any stretch of your imagination that I, Edwin Montague, will be a part of this technically turkey you are planning to foist on the already punch-drunk movie public?
But Raoul...
Oh, quiet. I refuse to be a party to this Hollywood horse opera you are going to put out as Macbeth.
All right, we can change it to a prison picture. Hey, Speed, shoot that to Luella.
Speed, here's another piece of Hollywood chit-chat for Luella. Raoul Randolph, alias Sir Edwin Montague, is not going to make what picture for what studio unless it is done exactly as Shakespeare wrote it.
As Shakespeare wrote it? I'd never heard of such a thing. Listen to reason, sweetheart.
As Shakespeare wrote it.
Oh, no, we'll be the laughing stock of Hollywood.
It'll lose $1 million.
You have a contract.
As Shakespeare said, so what?
Are those your last words?
Exactly.
You asked for it, Raoul. Raoul Randolph. By the power vested in me by Empire Studios, you are hereby suspended.
No, no, Stiles, no. You can't do that to a human being.
I'm suspended by Empire Studios?
It's a living death.
You know what this means. You cannot work for another studio until we lift the suspension.
You mean I can't even hand Dr. Kildare a scalpel?
No.
They can't even use my voice in a cartoon?
No.
I can't even tune Gene Autry's guitar?
No.
In other words, you will see to it that I can never work in Hollywood again?
Exactly.
Gentlemen, you have made me the happiest man in the world. East side, west side, all around. Lily, I've got my shirts all packed. Mirror, New York, here we come.
Edwin, this is ridiculous. We came 3,000 miles and now we're going back.
But I go back an honest man with clean hands. I refused to distort. I have refused to despoil my beloved Shakespeare.
Edwin, maybe they'll listen to reason.
Reason?
This is a fine how do you do. Here I am going back to New York without a tan. My friends are going to think I spent the winter in a newsreel theater.
Agnes, the minute I'm on the train for New York, you may bask in the sunshine of my smile.
The sunshine of your smile. That'll be a day. Here are your Hollywood sports shirts, slacks, and moccasins. Where'll I put them?
In the incinerator. Burn them. On the way to the station, I shall fling the ashes into the lobby of Grauman's Chinese.
Hate to leave my little garden. I was just planting my geranium.
Lily, when we get back to New York, knowing dear Agnes's house cleaning, there will be dirt enough to plant them in my den.
We've rented this house for a month.
The landlord could use the money to finally put a roof on that living room.
Edwin, I keep telling you, that's the patio.
Who cares? We're going back. East side, west side. Come in.
Raoul, baby, you're still here.
We got here in time.
Gentlemen, don't tell me you came all the way here to tell me that you have a new jump tune called Stompin' with Macbeth.
Mr. Randolph, I come with great news.
Tell him, Stiles, tell him.
Mr. Randolph, brace yourself. Here it comes. The suspension has been lifted.
Oh, no, you can't do that to me.
We were fools, Raoul. We hadn't seen that screen test you made with your wife.
With my wife?
It's dynamite. We want you two together. What a team.
We are not going to do that song and dance version of Macbeth.
What, Macbeth? You were right on that. We're not doing it.
You're not?
We've got something greater than Macbeth. We have plans for you and your wife that'll make you the greatest acting team in history.
Oh, Edwin.
Lily, acting together again.
I'm so excited I can't see straight. Our studio has $1 million property. For 20 years, we've been trying to get the perfect couple for it. You're it to a T.
They're perfect.
What is it? Romeo and Juliet?
Bigger than that.
Caesar and Cleopatra?
Don't make me laugh. It's bigger than that.
God.
Wait till this announcement hit the world. Empire Pictures proudly presents Mr. and Mrs. Edwin Montague in...
What is it?
Jiggs and Maggie.
Oh!
Join us again next Friday night at this same time for another visit with The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Created and directed by Nat Hiken, written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily, Pert Kelton was Agnes. Included in tonight's cast were Alan Reed as Stiles Fenton, Wally Mayer as Speed, and Jim Backus as Maylard Fitch. This is Eddie King saying stay tuned for Duffy's Tavern, which follows immediately.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.